Here.
Bob.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
John.
Here.
Nancy.
Yes.
And Kurt.
Here.
We have a full assembly tonight. The next thing on the agenda is the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, now we need approval of the minutes from the November 3rd, 2014 meeting. I'll entertain a motion for that.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Haverlick to approve the minutes for November 3rd. Is there any changes need to be made?
I have a question.
Okay.
Item C, where it states, whereas the charter allows for service to be continued to be provided at the same level as prior to borough formation, where it says charter, the charter is pretty specific that it doesn't allow it. It is the petition that did allow it. Am I correct in that?
Kathy might be able to clarify that.
The charter is your governing document.
Right.
The petition don't really have any...
Right, but the way that's stated... look at item C, Kathy.
C dot C what?
C...
The number.
Borough and services. C and C.
CC, okay.
It says borough, whereas the charter allows for services.
Let's look at the minutes from...
What section is that under, John? Or
it's under C of C of the...
We had discussed it under 16C. Under what the attorney had to say? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. C of C. Assembly discussion items. C of C. Then under borough services and borough-wide services.
Yeah.
Again, C. And enter there, it, and I'm quoting now, is whereas the charter allows for services.
Okay, whereas the charter allows for the services to continue to be provided at the same level as prior to borough formation.
Is that from the minutes of the meeting of November 3rd?
Yes. Yeah. Be on page 5 of your packet and... Page 5 of the meeting minutes of that
day. My question, though, to the group is that the charter was pretty specific in saying that it doesn't specifically say those services will continue.
So you're saying at the time when we formed the borough and we were going through the petition process, the petition was saying that?
The petition said that. The charter specifically says those services that we talked about would not be provided.
Except
under areas, except as you establish, other areas.
Okay, I can see what Bob is talking about, that the petition was the one that did say that we were planning on continuing services status quo where the charter doesn't. So you could say, the petition, it should be changed.
It should be a petition in my view, but I can be convinced otherwise.
No.
Okay, is your question satisfied then, Bob, or do we need to...
All I'm asking is for the word charter to be changed to petition, whereas should read whereas the petition allows for services.
In the minutes of the last meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And I do have where you had it at.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any more changes to the minutes from November 3rd? Seeing none, we'll approve the minutes as changed. Then we need amendment or approval of this evening's meeting agenda. Entertain a motion to do that.
So moved.
I'll second.
Was that you, Jay? That moved? John, and seconded by Cindy. Got a cold, so my head's a little bit plugged up. You have to bear with me. any discussion on or changes for tonight's meeting agenda? John?
Under discussion items, I would like to just bring up something about budget and putting monies aside for capital projects.
It's already on our agenda this evening, isn't it?
Well, then we'll do it then. Yeah, thanks.
If that's what your item 16C, would that meet your needs? Or we're talking.
Yeah, we can do it under there.
Would that work for you?
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Otherwise
Thank
we
you.
Can add it. Okay, any more or any other amendments to this evening's meeting agenda? Seeing none, we'll move forward with the agenda as presented. There's nothing under public hearings or bid awards. Nothing under, is there any visitors' views related to tonight's agenda? So please state your name and who you represent.
Kimberly Kilkenny. I represent Petersburg Children's Center. I'm the president. What we are handing out right now is just a quick fact sheet about the 16C item dedicating local funds to capital projects. I'm speaking in regards to the Children's Center expansion project. As you can see on the sheet that I just handed out, the bottom line is that we've been entertaining a wait list for several years now. Our population continues to increase with children, which is great. However, we do not have the capacity to increase enrollment at this time due to a space limitation. This project would actually increase it so that we can take 20 more kids into our facility, which is a very needed service in our community if we want new families to move here or to continue to work here. So as you can see on that, that just breaks it down that we would actually make money, we'd increase job employment, and it would increase revenue for the community as well. I'm going to let Terry, our director, speak a little bit more about that as well.
Hi, my name is Terry Falter. I am the current director at the Children's Center. I just wrote down a little bit of notes just for information for you guys. I was going through since 2009, our average daily attendance was 24. And each year it's grown, and as of 2014, our average daily attendance has grown to 38. So that's almost double than what we've done. Our waiting list continually gets larger and larger, and I get parents that call. Some understand that I don't have room, but some are literally in tears because I can't take their children, and they're like, I have to work. What am I supposed to do? I have no answer for them except, you know, come to a meeting and support our capital project. I have parents that will call out of town. They have a job opportunity. The first thing they need to do is line up childcare, or they can't take that job and move to Petersburg. That what Kim goes with is for our businesses to thrive, to have good employees. They need to know that their employees that have children, they have a safe place for their kids to go that are nurtured and cared for, and then in turn they can work to make our businesses thrive. Sorry, I'm not very good at public speaking, so I'm like all over the place. Also, we've had a couple of kids that have been on our waiting list for a year to 2 years. They might start out as a toddler, and then by the time they're four, I can enroll them because kids go off to kindergarten. So just this fall, we enrolled two kids that have been on the waiting list for over 2 years, and their parents are like, yes, 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 you know, because they're not bouncing them all over the place. They have a consistent place, because that's another thing. There's a lot of people in town that want to take care of kids out of their homes, but children need consistency. Just like us as adults, we need routines and consistency. You don't want to go to one house one day and another house the next day. So by getting this capital project to expand, we would add another classroom, make two of our classrooms larger. In turn, as you guys can see, we would be able to enroll that many more children. And our waiting list has stayed consistent with at least 12 kids on it for the past 5 years. Kim and I were just looking at it today, and we have 21 kids on it as of today. In different age groups, and our ages are ages 6 weeks to 5 years before kindergarten. And right now, we're sitting with 21 kids on a waiting list with parents that can't go out and work because they have no child care. So, thank you for your time and consideration. Oh,
thank
yes?
Kurt, may I ask you a question? Have you guys got a shovel-ready plan on how you're going to make this expansion that we could look at, or is it?
We do. Kim had asked for it this afternoon as we were walking out the door. We have plans. I want to say maybe with I know within the last 10 years that Dieter Klaus, his close, has drawn up for us. So, yes, we do have plans that he has done for us. And I can bring those in if somebody would like to see. And didn't you say you had them or something? So, yes, we do have plans that have been drawn up.
And then a follow-up question is that, and so these project cost $300,000, is that consistent with today's prices for materials, or is that...
I believe that was probably back when
that was we priced it out last year when we first submitted the capital project, so it is consistent.
I understand anyway. The reason I was going this way was because I understand material costs have kind of gone up significantly in the last year or so. Housing starts are up in the United States, so material
yes.
costs are up. So is, you think 300 is enough?
I don't have that answer. I am not a builder. I don't know at this time. I do not have that answer.
We did have it inflated enough to where it would address with any other issues that were caused. And if I can remember correctly, it was around 230 was what we were told at that time. But so we have some room in case there's any issues.
So 230 a square foot. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? Okay. All right, thanks.
Any other questions, Cindy?
I just had a quick one. You list what your assets are, and I assume some of that is in building. Is any of that in cash on hand?
What do we have in our capital?
Our capital project currently has just under $5,000 in it. Our capital bank account, not our project.
Okay, any other questions?
Is this enough of an increase in size?
It's a start. It's a start. I mean, if I remember one of the things Dieter said, if we go out, because we're going to take part of our playground away, but if we go out towards the parking lot, we have to have so many parking spaces for ever how many people can be in our building. So that's why we chose to take a section of our parking or our playground away. And the lots that are across the street from us that were donated from the Petersburg Childhood Education, those are still sitting empty. We haven't done anything with them because once we start something on there, then we have to pay the higher insurance. But Kim and Liz Cabrera and the board had talked about it, that it's easier to possibly expand than it is to get funds to build up from the ground up. And then eventually, if we just keep adding on to our building, we could take that property and make it into a parking lot and maybe a playground, because if we can keep adding, then we'll need a place for a playground.
Do you want to describe the extension, what we're doing?
I don't know how many of you have ever been in the Children's Center, but it's like a square. So you would add the two classrooms on the one side would get bigger, and then another classroom would go on beyond that with an additional bathroom. And then we have a ramp that goes up to a front door, and that ramp would also extend, so that classroom would have a separate entrance also. It's not the best case scenario to have to walk through classrooms, but that's what we do at the Children's Center anyway, because it's the way the building's set up. So my ultimate goal would be to have a building big enough to where people didn't have to walk through classrooms. Everybody had their own bathrooms in their classrooms. There's an outside entrance to my office, so people don't have to walk through the toddler nap room to get to me. But that's not a possibility at this time. This is the best thing to get more kids now, and it's a start. So, yeah.
Any other comments? You know, it sounds like it would definitely help. I mean, the job situation in town.
Absolutely.
And other things, but I wasn't here at the meeting where this subject was first brought up, using local funds for a match for funding state projects. And it's going to be a total change from the way we've done business in the past, the way we have our capital projects list, which we prioritize and submit to the legislature. So this is on our agenda tonight just as a discussion item. So
right.
We're not going to take any action, but we're aware
right.
of that. So at some point, if this resolution passes, then the Assembly will have to address where we're going to get the funding from our local funds mm-hmm. and what project, you know, maybe start another priority list. I don't know how we're going to approach that, but it's going to be a totally different scenario than what we're used to. So I agree, they're all great. They're good projects, but the last trip, just got back from Anchorage, and it was state funding is going to be non-existent.
Yep.
It sounds like. So we all know that.
Yes.
Yeah, and we do acknowledge that, but the problem is, if you've noticed in the newspaper, we've had jobs posted consistently for this time of year, and that's pretty incredible to me mm-hmm. that we still have these openings, and part of it is we do not have people who can go back to work. So I do know that money is tight, but also if we want to grow our economic development in this community and have new families move here, it's a problem that we'll need to figure out a solution for, if it's not with this project or it's with something else. But I do know this is a huge concern for a lot of our professionals in town, as well as any families that would consider moving here.
Well, and even on that note, for us as the Children's Center, we need workers, and the first thing I have to say, do you need childcare? We're the daycare center, and I can't hire somebody that needs childcare. But thank you for your time.
All right, thank you. So we're back to views related to the agenda? Any other views related to tonight's agenda? Dave? You gonna
have a letter before the council? Can we read it now?
If you'd like, or I will read it later. It's up to you.
Well, I'll read it now, and then I'd like to comment further on that.
Sure. Can you stand up to the podium and state your name and who you represent?
My name is Dave Randrup, and I represent myself in the interest of the public. Is that letter available?
Yeah, do you need a copy?
I don't have a copy here. So.
There you go, Dave. Oh, Nancy's got a hard copy of it.
Oh, yeah. 51 years ago, I was a biologist aide for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and I worked with Harry Merriam, who was a regional deer biologist. In the spring of 1963, the U.S. Forest Service sprayed DDT at Polk Inlet on Prince of Wales Island. In July of 63, Harry and I did vegetative sampling from 0 to 800 feet in this area, and again in December of 63. In 1967, 4 years later, Harry took tissue samples on a two-year-old deer, which showed unacceptable levels of a contaminant. And sometime between 1987 and 1994, the application of two types of herbicides at the Hoona Ranger District by the U.S. Forest Service was performed. These applications were meant to eliminate salmonberry, fireweed, and alder growth as they overtake native species once timber is harvested or roads are built. I suggest you address the strength and duration of effectiveness for herbicides and pesticides before endorsing a program. Don't rely on somebody else's word for this information. Demand actual test results published in peer-reviewed results. I know nothing of the state's program of herbicides and pesticides, but it must be similar to federal agencies, and I suggest you find out. My phone inquiries to U.S. Forest Service botanist in Wrangell and Ketchikan have not been returned. Councillor Bob Lynn was a regional forest service or regional forester with the U.S. Forest Service, and he should be able to help recover some of this information. The council has been incorporated into a borough to have a say in community affairs. Now is the time to demand your voice be heard. Since this letter, I've talked to two gals in the Forest Service, one in Wrangell, one in Ketchikan, and there has to be a risk assessment performed on these herbicides before they're put on the market, and I suggest you find out if these herbicides meet these risk assessments. And also, the DOT has a program statewide. They don't pick out certain areas and apply certain herbicides in different areas. And as one gal says, that, like, for instance, Roundup, which is common, I guess you can get it at the store, but it's not approved for aquatic use anywhere, especially in a damp climate like this. And that's the things you need to find out. There is a plant material center in Palmer, Alaska, that should have all this information. I don't know. You're going to have to request information from them. But before you endorse anything, I suggest you look into it a little bit further. You know, there's been a couple other programs, one in Bradfield Canal that was the herbicide application, and the Hoona Sound, and I could get no information from the Forest Service on those applications. It seems like after about 20 years of personnel change, all that information gets lost. So I suggest you do a little more research before you endorse this program.
Okay, well, thanks for your letter, Dave. And I don't know if you noticed on our agenda later under discussion items, we have a draft resolution for herbicides. Pesticide ordinance.
I was reading through that, and there's some questions there, but I got to go home and babysit. So.
Right, well, this is just, I'm just saying we're taking action on it, we're moving it forward. I would imagine we'll probably have a first reading on this ordinance fairly soon. The Southeast Conference of Mayors has passed a resolution on herbicides in the Senate to the state. The mayor from Sitka was instrumental in that, and the mayor from Skagway and myself, we signed this in September or August when the meeting was in Wrangell. So I think it's a pretty strong feeling from these assembly members that we don't want herbicides sprayed in our borough.
I caution you to look into it fully before you propose anything.
So you're suggesting that, I mean, if we have don't allow herbicide spraying and pesticide spraying at all in our borough?
Find out if it's acceptable to, say, even the federal agencies. You know, DEC might allow something different for DOT than what the federal people use. There might be different risk assessments on these, find out.
It seems to me maybe someone would have more information or clarify my statement on this, but it's, we could ask to have herbicides and pesticides not sprayed in our borough, but DOT can still come and spray it on their lands, but we still have to make a strong statement, in my opinion, to get it. So
let's find out what DOT's got to put on the...
Kurt, you have a comment?
Question for you, Dave. I was wondering, are you opposed to private individuals, you know, using products like Roundup and that sort of thing in their own yard or in their own... Or is it
well,
something that you
I didn't know that Roundup wasn't a good herbicide to use in your own yard. I thought it was, you know, you can get it off the shelf, and I thought it was good stuff, but obviously it's not. Mm-hmm. So
you're opposed to any?
The public should be aware of what they're putting on for application.
Okay. That's all I had.
Any other questions of Dave or comments on this letter? Or I guess we'll address the issue ourselves with our draft ordinance later. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Any other visitors' views related to tonight's agenda? Okay, seeing none. Visitors' views unrelated to tonight's agenda. Any views there? Okay, seeing none. Board, commission, and committee reports. We have a letter from Thomas Bay Power Authority commissioner, or the president of that. It's from Robert Larson, and basically it says the, you know, the role of Thomas Bay Power Authority as it was designed for is doesn't really apply anymore because SEPA took over the O&M of TAI, and I don't know if I would think we should still keep the Thomas Bay Power Authority in ordinance. This is just my opinion. We'll just throw this out there and maybe just use them as an ad hoc committee if we have a function for them to perform some designated project or something. So as you see here in the letter, it says the next meeting for the commission is scheduled for April 2nd, 2015. They don't have any funding from either Wrangell or Petersburg now, which formerly funded the organization, and they don't have any legal representation. So it's the wish of the assembly. I entertain a motion to come up with an idea what to do with Thomas Bay Power Authority. And did Wrangell take action on this, Kathy, that you know of yet? No.
Not.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, what's the fiscal with this if we maintain?
$55,000 per community is what we, wasn't it? Is what we, I don't know what the fiscal would note would be just to keep them in ordinance. Kathy?
Yeah. Do you know, Joe could probably speak to it better than I do, but that's gone is my understanding. But it'd be to fund their meetings if they did meet.
Oh.
If you give them a task to do, be able to fund whatever you need them to do in research, almost like our other committees.
Bob?
A couple questions for Joe. One of them I have is, if there's a new hydropower facility or a hydropower project entertained, is SEPA the appropriate body then that would take that on, or would it be Thomas Bay?
I think it would be appropriately something that SEPA would do for the three communities here in Southeast. And in fact, SEPA is pursuing that as we speak. We have the results of the RFO, the request for offers for anyone that would want to partner with SEPA on a new project. We have the results of that, and there are a couple of things that we're looking at. I shouldn't say we're, but SEPA is looking into wind power and is going to put up a site, and so they're really taking the lead, and so I think that pretty much answers it.
Bob?
Is there a, from your perspective, would there be a reason to keep on the books or just have it, for instance, having Thomas Bay Power Authority just and put to bed, so to speak, for now?
there's a reason to keep that ordinance on the books from your perspective.
I would think that there would be. There's no harm in leaving it there, inactive in a sense. And like Mayor suggested, the potential for an ad hoc committee to study a particular project that would be impact both communities, to have that forum where both communities could get together and discuss it, I think may have some benefit in the future, but not in the immediate future.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on what we should do with Thomas Bay Power Authority? I suppose we could leave it as it is. They could have a meeting once in a while, but I don't.
Even if they choose not to have a meeting, I see a value in keeping it through this transition period until we see how things shake out with SEPA. And if at a future date we decide we need to retire it, then we can go through the process of doing that. But I don't think it hurts to have it in place right now.
As ordinance, or keep the power authority together with the appointed members from each community? And
my only concern about that is, aren't they down a member or two right now?
And that, I'm not sure, Kathy.
They're full.
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking they were down.
Mr. Lyerson, this is the next one up for reappointment.
Okay. And when would that be?
In 2015.
Okay.
By December sometime. That would be
well, I guess we could, is it the wish of the council to maybe send a letter to back to Robert Larson saying, just going to leave it intact like it is, to see what comes of their April 2nd meeting? I don't personally see going through the takeover, whatever you want to call it, of SEPA with TAI doing the O&M. I thought that was the reason, was to get rid of this extra layer of government, so to speak. And but, you know, they don't have any office personnel. They don't have anybody keeping records. It's just membership, so I'm just members on this board, the commission. So I don't know. I'm having discussions with, I think that's the feeling of a few people in Wrangell as well. So I guess we could wait and see what Wrangell does and then just let it not take any action. But I got out of this letter, Robert, just asking us if we wanted to them to stay in existence.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I do need to tell you that there are some requirements in that ordinance that the commission or authority can't meet as it is now. Like, there's a requirement in there, they have to meet monthly. So I think the ordinance does need some tweaking somehow to, you know, at least leave them in there, that you recognize them, that you're going to use them in the future. But I think there needs to be some changes, not just let it sit there.
Bob?
And question for Kathy on procedure. Could that be done by letter? Just and then put that ordinance in, I'll call it hibernation for the time being. Could that be done by letter to them?
Yeah, we could say that, kind of an understanding between the communities, or you could just agree on these are the, this is what we need to change the ordinance to read, and then you'd be clear.
Okay.
Any discussion on this item down here? One thing we should probably do is, communicate with Wrangell and see what they plan to do, because it's they're mirror ordinances. I mean, they're and from communities were involved in this equally. So, Joe, you had a comment?
Yeah, that was kind of the discussion at the commission level, was that we didn't want to stand down until the two assemblies had a chance to speak to it. And so the letter that went to both assemblies is basically to prompt that discussion and then get back to us.
What is the wish of the assembly? Kurt.
One more question. So this is going to carry a $55,000 fiscal note from the city of Petersburg, or this would just
I think we voted that funding out before Wrangell did, and then Wrangell did as well. And,
So this is just a name only then, basically?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, we all read the letter, but I'll just read the last paragraph. The commission remains committed to supporting the community's interest in affordable, reliable electrical power and is looking forward to a continuing dialogue with the respective assemblies to facilitate that goal. So, but like Kathy said, the ordinances from each community say that they have to meet monthly, I guess. So should we communicate with Wrangell and see what they intend to do? And we could kind of go through this process together?
That makes sense.
Yeah. So could you send a letter to the clerk, Kathy, and see what they...
Will do.
Thank you very much.
Keep
Yeah, well.
It's okay. We'll bring it up again.
It's probably a good idea to do it that way because there is, and we have purposely taken action in the past to not fund this, and then Wrangell followed suit as well. So, okay, consent agenda. Now, there's two items on the consent agenda this evening. Local approval of Alaska Sport Clay Target Program gaming permit for 2014-15. And local approval of 2015 gaming permit application for Alaska State Elks Charitable Trust Fund. Without objection, I would entertain a motion to adopt the items on the consent agenda.
So moved.
Okay. Second? Well, this moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn to approve the items on the consent agenda. Any discussion? Call the roll, please, Kathy.
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, the items on the consent agenda pass unanimously. Now it's time for the mayor's report. First of all, I added a couple notes here. I'll talk with Kathy, and since this meeting was bumped back, the next meeting was supposed to be December 1st, I believe, and the next one on the 14th. I would like to see if it works for the Assembly to move those meeting dates to the 8th and the 22nd, because I think if we have a meeting in 10 days, we're not going to have, you know, possibly not much information to talk about. Does that work for the Assembly to move the meetings to those dates?
I'm a little leery of the 22nd. That's a pretty busy time. If we have a short meeting on the 1st, oh well.
And I can call in, but I know I'll be out of town on the 1st because I have to go get that crown.
And Bob's going to be out of town on the 8th, and I intended to potentially we'll be out of town on the 1st as well. So what do we want to do? Will the 8th and the 22nd work for, and then... Okay.
For my end, that worked just fine.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry to mix things up. I know everybody makes plans, but at AML last week in Anchorage, the Alaska Municipal League adopted a resolution asking for involvement by the International Joint Commission in the Transboundary River discussion. It's the same resolution that the Conference of Mayors adopted in. Southeast Conference of Mayors adopted in Wrangell, so they're pushing it forth, asking for the governments to involve the International Joint Commission. Hopefully, we'll get another letter of another level of looking at that before they go ahead and start building mines up in the interior of BC. Also in Anchorage this weekend, I was part of the governor's, you probably heard on the radio, new Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Malotz elects transition team. I was on the fisheries committee, but Chris Norris was on there as well. This was an interesting process, very open with public comments recognized. There will be a follow-up from the new administration with the members of the 17 committees, possibly with more input in the future by the committee. So we'll see, and I'll keep you informed if any other information comes down the road. It was interesting, people from all different interests in the state for these committees. Appointment to various boards and planning commission. The borough has received letters of interest from Marlene Cushing, John Hogue, Tom Stearns, and Chris Tinas, as well as another letter that was submitted today from Aaron Michael. And there's three people applied for the hospital board with two positions available. So when it gets to that, I'd like to vote on those. And we just have a closed vote, just write them on a piece of paper, and needs a simple majority of four for them to be seated on the hospital board. But without any objection, I would like to appoint John Hogue to the Public Safety Commission and Tom Stearns to the Planning Commission. So is that okay with the Assembly? Okay, so I guess what we need to do is just everybody have a little piece of scratch paper they could write on or something. Does this work for you, Kathy? This is how we've done it in the past.
Thank you, sir.
There's three names. There's Chris Tinas, Marlene Cushing, and Aaron Michael that have applied to two seats on the hospital board. So write down the who you would like to have on the board, and we'll tally up and see how many times it, we have to go through this process to get it done.
Mr. Mayor, what was Michael's first name?
Aaron. Aaron Michael. Can't even read my own writing. That's not going to work. Probably tell whose ballot mine is with all the scratches and stuff on it. I guess I could have done that. Sorry. Passing the buck. We will go with the two that are left, and we'll vote again.
Adjourn. Okay.
There you go.
You bet.
Is the number on the board a finite number, or can we exceed that?
I think it's finite. Ordinance is...
Okay,
because
it's an elected board. Okay, so yeah. Oh, that's right.
Mark, would you like this time?
Sure, I'll tally that.
Neglecting my other time job.
Okay, we have Chris Tinas, Aaron Michael, Chris Tinas. So that's four for Chris and Aaron Michael. So Chris gets the last position on the hospital board with a 4-2-3 vote. So thank everybody. Thanks to everybody putting their name in, interested in serving on these commissions. It takes a while to get them filled sometimes. Kathy, so on the planning commission, is that a full commission now, or are we still...
No, you're still short, I think, two members on that board.
Okay, so anybody listening or sitting in the audience that needs something to do, we're looking for people on the planning commission. Okay, the next thing we're going to do under the mayor's report here is I ask for letters of interest for people on the SEPA board. There's two positions, a voting member and an alternate. Next year we will have two voting members and two alternates. It's our cycle for that, and then it goes back to Ketchikan with three and back to Wrangell. We received five letters of interest. There was a letter from Bob Zimke, Joe Nelson, John Jensen, Cindy Logadakis, and myself. And if the assembly would like, we could vote like we did on this last issue. Generally, we've done it by an appointment of the mayor, but I don't want to... since I'm one of the members and I'd like to appoint myself as the voting member, if you guys don't like that idea, we could vote. Make it democratic. What do you want to do? My intentions were to keep continuity on the board, and I'd like to appoint John Jensen to the alternate and myself as the voting member. But that's what my intentions were. But if the assembly wants to vote, we can... go ahead and vote.
I would prefer to see a vote.
Okay. We need more paper.
Let's rock.
You propose one name, Mr. Mayor? One name we're putting on it, or what do you...
Well, we need two. We need a voting member.
So voting and so alternate.
Yeah, V for voting and nothing next to the other one.
Roger.
You guys got paper.
Steve's tearing up his manager's report over
here. Yeah, I think we're okay.
Sure. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
And I would imagine we've read all the letters.
So we put two people down?
One voting and one and alternate.
Write what they are?
Well,
we want
to I think so.
Oh, gotcha, sorry.
And one thing I've talked to the clerk about since we're addressing this issue is we appoint, all the communities appoint, all the member communities appoint their representatives using the SEPA bylaws. And I suggested, and it was mailed to the two other communities that were involved with on this to draft an ordinance that we mirror one another in ordinance how to appoint our members. So I don't have we heard anything back from Ketchikan yet, Kathy?
They're interested. That's what they said. That's all.
Okay, so all three communities are interested, and so we'll, something else we'll do, draft another ordinance. Okay, we've got Cindy and John voting and non-voting. Cindy voting, John not voting. Must be John Jensen. There's only one. Voting Mark, alternate John Jensen. Voting Joe, alternate John. So here we got a mixed bag here. And I think it takes four votes to approve any of this. So here we have voting Joe, alternate John. So there's two of those. Voting, this might take John Jensen, alternate Joe. So there's three votes to keep those two on the SEPA board. Doesn't say vote or not here, but it, the one on the top is Cindy Lagadakis. I'm assuming that's a voting member. And Joe Nelson, so that's a different one. You keeping track of this?
No, I'm not.
I'm trying.
We have two that are the same, and that's it. Voting member Mark Jensen, alternate John Jensen.
But John Jensen received four votes for the as the alternate.
He received five now.
Huh?
He's received five.
Okay, well then he's the alternate.
So now re-vote on
good idea. So we'll vote on the voting member. Mm-hmm. Everybody have enough paper?
We're on it. So now it's voting. We're voting on voting member. Right now.
Correct.
Okay.
And we have four people.
Point of Roger.
Anybody need paper? Kind of a interesting way, but
I can shred more of my report.
I got plenty. We're good.
Not until you read it.
Okay, here we go. Joe Nelson, John, but you can't vote for him because he's already on there. Joe Nelson. Can you read that? We might not need to. Joe Nelson.
Sorry.
It says what?
Like it says Mark.
Well, if it does, then it is a tie because whoever voted for John, three for me, three for Joel.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it again. And the person who voted for John needs to make up their mind if they want Joe or I on there, I guess. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, we're good.
Just in case.
I hope, God, I'm glad this isn't on TV.
Yeah, should be.
Is this the new pile? Oh. That might be going through the old pile.
Fair enough.
Keep an eye on you over there.
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay, count the ballots. Okay, Joe gets four votes. Joe is the voting member, and just like it was. Okay, that was easy.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
You know, I think one thing I'm hearing is that maybe John and I haven't done as good a job as we should do as far as bringing information back to the community and reporting to the assembly. And I would pledge that we would do a much better job of doing that, and also getting your input on upcoming items that may be voted on.
You know, I agree with, I think that's why it came to this, asking for letters of interest. There's been a few issues where the communication is not with the members necessarily from Petersburg, but it's been with SEPA's line of communication. And I think it's improved a lot over the last few years. And I don't know, get your opinion on this, how, if there's an item that's important to the community coming up on the next agenda for SEPA, the SEPA meeting might come before an assembly meeting. And I don't necessarily, I don't know if the assembly should, you know, look at all the agendas of SEPA and decide what the voting member should do. So I guess we just have to, a better line of communication would be good. And I think we're almost there, so, in my opinion. So, okay, now we have appointed the SEPA board members. I don't think there is anything else left in the mayor's report. That means it's on to the manager's report. Steve?
The library earned a 4-star rating from the Library Journal, one of only 8 in Alaska and 256 nationally that ranked that high. So congratulations to them. We're going to make another shot at the library landscaping bid. This will be the 3rd time. Hopefully we will get bids this time around, but we'll be doing this in mid-December and hoping for somebody that can provide us an estimate on what they will charge to do some landscaping on the facility. Thanks to GLOW and her folks and everyone else involved in it, we have the North Harbor Project Letter of Completion. It was received on October 29th, and we made the final payment. So the North Harbor is officially closed out and done. Over the last couple of weeks, the abutment was poured over at the drive-down facility. Tamiko is currently securing the last girders on the approach dock, and then Rock and Road has trenched the uplands and is working with Power and Light and Bear Electric to install the conduit and parking lot light pole bases. We're hearing that the first float sections have been sent to the treatment facility and are being prepped for shipment to Petersburg. And the transfer bridge has been constructed and treated and is also ready for shipment. All this will be shipped, not going to say put together, but in big sections and then put into the water. Tamiko will begin preparing for the landing float installation, and the pipe mooring pile frame will support the outer end of the transfer bridge. The next couple weeks, Chloe?
We're almost done.
Thank you. I knew timing on this was interesting. My reports.
I just have to say our first float should be here on my birthday on Saturday.
There you go. Thank you. Western Marine P&D engineer and borough staff attended the substantial completion meeting on October 29th for the crane dock. There is a small punch list that includes some joint sealant that we most likely won't be able to do until spring or summer. Needs certain temperature to cure well. The new fish cleaning float was installed on October 3rd. We actually came in under budget and were asked by the grant administrator if we could spend more of their money. GLOW and her staff is working with the Petersburg Sport Fishing Association on the possible construction of a new fish hanging rack and kind of some cleanup maintenance items on the fish cleaning tables. Again, this is one of those grants that was funded by the Sport Fishing Association in taxes. So we're trying to spend it properly in those areas. The harbor security vessel underwent the annual maintenance by staff and piston and rudder, included in every 3-year bottom paint and anode check. The hull's in good shape and back in operation. Just for those of you who didn't see the email, the security boat was assisted in a vessel rescue a couple weeks back. It went really smooth, being a landing craft. Coast Guard even called us out when our boat was better equipped to handle this, that type of a situation than theirs were. Then later in the week, we also assisted in the EMS response using the boat. So again, it's not used a lot, but when it is, it's an important part of what we're trying to do and help people. I put this in here for Glow. She's issued a community-wide challenge on pickled herring. So what is it, December 10th, Glow?
Yes.
There you go. Thanks to a lot of folks that helped with this. Justin Pierre, the skipper of the Defiant, bought us a bunch of herring, evidently, and a bunch of folks went down there, including our harbor master, to gather them up and get it ready for the annual pickled herring contest, which is scheduled for 8 p.m. on December 10th. It is a requirement that all assembly members go down there and taste it. So, Public Works is working to schedule the remaining work on the Rasmus Inge Bridge before Alaska DOT. Have they already got here, Carl, or am I? Okay, great. This report's about 2 weeks old. I apologize. What we're trying to do is get the work done prior to the bridge inspection folks getting here, so we get a good rating on the bridge, which allows different types of traffic on it. We had one more piling to replace in addition to installation of some cross bracing. And again, the hope is that they'll allow that bridge to continue to be used. We weren't quite so sure before we started the work. So, also, public thanks to them, we successfully installed a new water main valve on Noceum Street. That's allowed us to basically abandon some failing water line that was routed from the Lumber Street area in the past, and it's an old asbestos concrete line that has a tendency to crack and fail, and that will now be abandoned, and now that we have a bypass for it. Winter flushing and winterizing of the fire hydrants has been completed, so we just tell folks if fire department or others have to use those, please, we need to let Public Works know so we can go back and re-winterize them if necessary. We had a bunch of our drivers in Public Works that took the commercial driver's license test, road test, and they have all passed, which is a big deal, so congratulations to them. We continue to work with DOT on incorporating our sewer plan within the South Nordic Drive and Haugen Drive projects into their plan to resurface those roads. Current plans call for bidding one project for both streets and requiring that the winning contractor phase the work so that the local disturbance is minimized. Again, this will be from this intersection here out to the ferry terminal and this intersection here out all the way to Sandy Beach, or just
essentially the same.
Yeah. So it's important for them to understand that this is kind of a key intersection right out here and that we'll have to work around it. Latest information is that the project will be advertised in November. So
tomorrow.
Did it get
tomorrow.
Okay, great, hurry up. We will be holding a public, Motor Pool will be holding a public auction to sell various pieces of surplus equipment. Sealed bids will be solicited for various vehicles and equipment, and a public outcry auction will be held for the old motor grader. We continue to hear that PIA is interested in that, but we want to make sure there's not anybody else out there that might have an interest in it, so it'll be open for an auction. We've had some issues up at McGill's Trailer Park. Our folks, we have been in contact with Rick McGill. A couple of sewer line breaks, which has created a bit of a mess. We've asked him to continue to work with the contractor. That is a private sewer system that is tied to our mains and is kind of in less than ideal shape. So Carl's been trying to work with them to make sure they get a project scheduled to get in there. Unfortunately, now with winter soon to set in, we're a little concerned that the work may not get done in time. But it is something we're following up on. The cooler replacement project at the manor is moving forward. We've got the materials ordered, and we're just kind of waiting. It's a two-fold project. We have some wood rot that has to be fixed, and then we'll have the actual removal and installation of the old unit, and then the new unit. Something's been pending for a while as over time. We're hoping to install it in a way that we won't continue to have the moisture build up there, which caused the wood rot to begin with. Congratulations to Janice Lopez. She's had her 10-year anniversary for service at the manor. For those of you who have not been up there or seen that environment, that's a tough job, and 10 years doing it is a long time, so she's done a great job for us. The trim house is basically dismantled. We still do not have an answer from the court. Don't understand why. We're kind of between a rock and a hard place. Our attorney would love to rattle cages. On the other hand, it's a judge that we may have to go before in the future, so it's kind of a tough spot. The hearing was August, give or take August 1st. We are now in end of November, and we still do not have a ruling from the judge. But the house is down. There's substantial site cleanup that still needs to be happened. We've asked the contractor worker that's been doing it for Mr. Treeman, Ms. Ellingstad, to put a safety fence up. I don't believe that's up as of this point. We're concerned, particularly if it starts snowing soon, lots of nails, and that stuff gets hidden pretty quick, and if people go wandering around on that lot, somebody can get hurt pretty badly. So we've asked the contractor several times now to get some safety fencing up. We'll continue to push on that. Had a really nice write-up on Oktoberfest in last month's Alaska Magazine. PEDC helped with the photos and other information to make that happen. And Liz we're working forward on our comprehensive plan process. Task one is basically us getting organized and this kind of data dump of us giving a bunch of information to the consultant, past comprehensive plans and strategic plans, history of the community, any other things we could find. And at the same time, they have us putting together a planning committee team. Liz has been reaching out to people on that one, trying to make sure that we have some kind of representation. That planning committee is about 10 to 15 people. I think ours is already to the 15 number. And then there's a list of, I'm not sure what they call, all of you people who know a lot, they have a really nice name for it, but that list is in the hundreds of people that they want to interview when they come to town, and they're planning on being here, I believe it's the second week in December. And so they're in the process of putting a survey together and working through contact information that we've gathered from everybody to reach out to folks, and then they'll start through the process of meeting, scheduling with different boards and groups, as well as the planning team members and the community experts. Alaska Mills, which is one of our small businesses here, project sent out its first shipment of locally milled high-quality yellow cedar and was sold to native carvers in the Northwest. So continues to be a nice success story. Small number of employees, but this is a part of the timber industry that seems to be thriving. Small micro sawmills that can provide kind of a specialty product. We continue to have some plumbing issues next in the jail. We are in the process of repairing another one of the toilet units, which are very customized, and hope to have it back in the cell and operational in a couple of weeks. Involves basically kind of removing it, generally when there's no prisoners in there, then taking it apart, doing welding on stainless steel, putting it all back together, and then reinstalling it, again trying to work around when they have inmates next door. So hopefully we will keep this building put together. And just some kind of police issues that Kelly asked me to talk to you about. Thanks to Sergeant James Kerr, performed rescue breathing on an individual suspected of a drug overdose and was able to get them stabilized before the hospital could take over. The suspicious powder found in the harbor bathroom Halloween night was in fact confirmed as cocaine. So Glo, I don't know what's going on down there, but you know, you guys are having a good party.
Shut him down.
I'm sorry. We've had several incidents, kind of starting a little earlier than normal, but with mentally ill folks and some family disputes that have had to involve our police officers. So it's been kind of hectic. Hasn't it, Kim?
Yes, it has.
We responded to, and this is one that to an intoxicated person who fell into the harbor, was able to climb back onto the dock, but was making their way, looking like they were going to fall back in if not rescued, so the officers might help get them off of the floats. And just kind of a overview, sounds like everything's really, really well for Chief Swihart at Quantico. He was able to attend a special tour of the Pentagon and a tour of the White House, as well as the classroom training that they go through. You know, this is for Carl's benefit. You know, I don't know if you realize that part of the program that Kelly had to go through is physical training. So I've been basically challenged him the next time there's a run in town to see how he can do against Carl, who's our resident borough runner. From the department head perspective, anyway. But they have a real cool program where they run, they call it the Yellow Brick Road. What was that? I always see his picture in the paper. I haven't seen yours yet. If they finish the whole obstacle course and run, and it's, I think it's a 10 or 12 mile endeavor, they get to take us a yellow brick home that's engraved with, you know, commemorating their accomplishments. I think they're done in another couple weeks, give or take. Then he's taking some vacation time to visit family out in Florida, and then he'll be back after the first of the year. So, that's it.
Any questions of the manager on his report? It's loosely related. And maybe I missed something in the meeting I was going at, and maybe... I guess I'll start with Carl, I guess. The recycling feedback, you know, the survey that went out, did I just miss that when I was gone, or have you reported on that already?
No, I'm compiling the information, and I'll have a report for the assembly soon.
Roger. Thanks, Carl. Okay, any other questions of the manager on this report? Okay, moving on to the next item. It's unfinished business, and it's the Juneau appeal of the Petersburg borough boundaries. And what we have in our packet tonight is... something that came to us in September.
My attachment wasn't there. It shouldn't have stayed on there. All it is the agenda wording, just to update you where they're.
Okay, right. So basically, it's just going back and forth with briefs, and it'll be spring before there's another hearing. So we won't know until May, June. Who knows? Okay, new business. Consideration of renewal contract with Ray Matuszewski and Associates for state lobbying services for calendar year 2015 at $3,500 a month. So I would entertain a motion to renew the contract with Matuszewski and Associates.
So moved. Second.
Okay, moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Strand to renew the lobbyist contract with Matuszewski and Associates. Any discussion?
So this, Mr. Mayor, so this is $3,500 for each month, or is it just when he's working for us?
$42,000 a year.
$42,000. Yes. That's what the math I came up with. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Well, he must be working every month for us, even when the legislature.
He's had his busiest year that he can remember. I mean, I've just talked to him on the phone, and in fact, he was in town for a swim meet a week or so ago, and bumped into the manager, and then I saw him and had coffee with him. He said it's been busy, and it. All in a state of flux up there.
And if I may, a lot of what he's now will be doing for us is not necessarily getting money for us as it is tracking down issues, and it's equally important, I mean, if not more so in some cases. I mean, and it's harder now, you know, when the money's not as free-flowing. What he's doing is, you know, we have questions about, you know, herbicides or what, you know, what's the Department of Corrections going to do with their, you know, program that supports our jail? We're using him to, you know, talk to people about how important that program is. And so it's he's well worth the money, even if it doesn't mean we're getting, you know, million-dollar grants. So, in my opinion.
Any other comments on the renewal contract for Matuszewski & Associates? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And Bob?
Yes.
Okay, the renewal contract with Matuszewski & Associates has passed unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 15, which is communications, and A under that is the Randrup letter, and Dave read that earlier, so if everybody's okay with it, we'll consider it read. November 14th, letter from SEPA on rebates. I can read the whole thing, or I can summarize it. Basically, what it says is the SEPA board voted in September to approve the rebates for fiscal year 2015, and it's based on the equivalency of a half a cent per kilowatt hour based on the last 3 years' average of the member utilities' kilowatt hours purchased from SEPA. It was noted, though, that the rebates are subject to audit compliance, bond requirements, and no unforeseen events occurring that will encumber the funds otherwise. Following this action to approve the rebate for 2015, it was determined prudent that a letter be sent to the communities to offer, be offered to advise that annual rebates are subject to meeting the business needs of the agency and may moderate as the direction of the board. So that's what that letter was about on the rebates. Next item is on the agenda is assembly discussion items. And anybody have any recognitions?
I just wanted to make one quick one, and that's to Mindy Swihart, who has maintained a good attitude while her husband has been away and has been a great provider of business service down in the borough offices, and I appreciate the sacrifice that she is having to make.
Thank you.
Any other recognitions by staff or anybody this evening, any assembly members? I have something that was given to me to bring to our clerk when I was at AML. So, Kathy, if you would please come up here and stand next to me. I have something I want to read and give you. Okay. This is a presentation from the Alaska Association of Municipal Clerks. 2014 Presidential Award of Distinction. Whereas Kathy O'Rear has given 31 years to the clerk's profession beginning in East Jordan, Michigan in 1984 and since 2000 with the city of Petersburg, Alaska, all of the while contributing as a valuable resource to her municipality, her community, and to clerks statewide. And whereas Kathy tirelessly took the administrative lead in the creation of the Petersburg Borough from the former City of Petersburg organization, which was an extremely polarizing public issue, served as an interim city manager, I remember that, and the human resources director, all while balancing the day-to-day responsibilities that are part of a thriving and evolving local government and community. And whereas Kathy embraced educational opportunities whenever and wherever possible, earning the prestigious Master Municipal Clerk designation from the International Institute of Municipal Clerks in 2006. And whereas during this span of time serving the people of Petersburg, Kathy has garnered recognition and admiration from all city and borough administrations, co-workers, peers, clerks, and the public she has faithfully served. And whereas, to the chagrin of those she works with, Kathy has announced her plans to retire in the spring of 2015. And whereas, while there are many examples of her excellent performance, one that most exemplifies her commitment to the profession is her priority to groom her replacement so the borough does not go unsupported. By this action, Kathy has established her legacy to her community, the Petersburg Borough, and the clerks of Alaska. And whereas the Alaska Association of Municipal Clerks wishes to thank Kathy for her years of dedicated service and wishes her Godspeed in her retirement plans, now therefore I, Janet Hovenden, on behalf of the Alaska Association of Municipal Clerks, do hereby bestow this 2014 Presidential Award of Distinction to Kathy O'Rear, MMC Petersburg Borough, and encourage all Alaska Association member community members to congratulate her for this honor.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good job, Kathy. Thanks for all your help. But you're still here for another couple months. So. Okay, with that out of the way. Any more recognitions by anybody? Okay. There has been a notice from Mental Health Trust Land Office informing seven lots in Seaduck Subdivision at Pappy's Landing will be sold through the Trust Land Office annual land sale program. So then there's a letter along with that, but that's pretty much the gist of it.
Mr. Mayor, can I comment on that one?
Sure.
Excellent. I'm definitely of the belief that I think it is in the borough's best long-term interest to secure lots 5, 6, and, six and 7, the ones that are adjacent to that. I believe it's 5, 6, and 7. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. The ones directly adjacent to that parking lot. I think those three, despite the many hang-ups in terms of multiple ownerships that that facility is itself right now, would be a huge asset to our long-term vision for Petersburg Borough Harbors. And so I guess my question is for Kathy is, should that be done in a motion or in a resolution at a later date, like on the meeting agenda?
That is going to be your prerogative on what you want to do. There are code requirements as far as what when we go to purchase land, when we pay for it, there's a specific way, though, that we have to do it.
Of course.
So I don't know what they've set those lots at, their minimum bid, or where you would want to go.
Yeah, well, that brings up the question, too, because it is through a bidding process, and like, does part of that need to be done in executive session, so you're not just disclosing what you're...
I would recommend you do that.
Exactly. So...
What is the date of this sale? I don't see it in this...
Joe found out for us. Yeah. It's going to be sometime when it starts in December?
Yeah, but sometime in December.
Right? It's sometime in December is when it opens, but I can't tell you the date.
And when does it close?
March.
It's 3 months.
Yeah. That's a more important date.
Yep.
I would say
Kathy would be the best one to suggest how we went about it. That's for sure.
The more I think about it, because there are code requirements, it's almost going to have to be resolution. If it gets too high, if it gets really high,
of course,
it's subject to vote. And I don't think they're that high.
I think it'd be important to include public comment.
Absolutely.
When making a decision like that, Bob.
I have a question for manager. When you entered earlier into negotiations with Mental Health Trust, you paid them a fee to do that. And my understanding, that was still open. Is that, in other words, you can still continue that? That was my understanding from that letter.
We would have to start the process over. It's like $500. It was not significant. And I'm not sure if mental health would allow us to start that process again, but if we went through the same process, we basically enter into an agreement with them. We would then have to have the property appraised. The borough would pay for that. Mental health chooses the appraiser. And then the agreement, and I'm doing this from memory, so excuse me if I've got...
You're good.
Is we would have to agree to pay, and it was like 120% of appraised value, some number, and it was above appraised value. That's if you wanted to purchase it directly from mental health without going through the auction.
Yeah.
Now that they've advertised it, I'm not sure if that's still open or not. We would have to ask that question.
Yeah, my understanding, it would not be open, but if you were to make a, I don't want to say a motion, but make a, send them a letter saying that we were still interested, and I'm not sure they would stop the sale accordingly, which I'd say they probably
wouldn't. No, I don't believe they would.
I'm sorry.
Didn't we send them a letter?
Yeah.
They put it back up for sale.
Well, yeah, they put it back up, but we did not offer, though, in that letter, Mark, that we would we would enter again to buy those lots. What we did is ask them to hold off not to sell those lots. That's what we asked them to do. But let me, can I ask part of that question? to piggyback on what Jay asked, my understanding is that that money is in the one letter that they sent us back, that they would still apply that money except for $500, as you say, towards that process.
I
may be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
when we started the process originally, it was a $500 application fee, and so it wasn't very much, and that's how we started it. The borough never spent any more money other than some staff time on that project. We never had the appraisal done. Some discrepancy between, or misunderstanding maybe is a better way to say it, between mental health and the borough on the appraisal process and how long that appraisal would be good for, and a, you know, let alone the commitment side of it, whether the assembly was ready to commit to buy.
Sure.
So, you know, if they'd let us, restart the process, we could find out. Again, if it's just paying the $500 application fee, that's not a huge issue. But we never spend any more money other than that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so what's the wish of the assembly? Shall we put it in, try to put it on a future agenda in resolution form?
I would like that very much.
Okay. And then I've got a couple thoughts on the issue, but I could discuss it at that point. But it's just, you know,
ditto for that matter.
The ownership of the dock is one in mind that we haven't got an offer from the state. We might not want to accept the docks.
Absolutely.
So then that still doesn't mean that's not a hub for people coming in from the outlying areas. So
yeah.
Something to consider.
Yeah. If I could add to that, I would agree with Jay that is a terminal. I'll call it a terminal transportation facility like we used to use, because everybody comes in there, and that's going to be the way it is, I think, for a long period of time. The two, I'm not sure we need three, but at least those three lots. If you were to do anything in the future, and the development is outside, you know, and down that corridor, there is no parking there. There absolutely is no parking there in the summertime. We're up along the highway. I mean, it's so. Jay's right. And even if at a later date, if the borough was to purchase them and decide then, you know, they didn't want it, those would still be very saleable lots. I mean, very saleable.
So I guess we'll have further discussion when it gets before us, so the resolution, if that's how we want to go about it. And I think it's something that should definitely go have public comment on it before we decide to get involved in the bid or whatever it's going to be. So, Kathy, I guess I
need to know what you want your resolution to say, or do you want to take public comments before you act on a resolution? Because your resolution is going to be your kind of your final deed. You know, this is what we're going to do.
Nancy?
I think we should get some public input before we buy anything.
Well, maybe let's put it under public hearings the next meeting. And did we decide that's December 8th so I can make notes on the 22nd? Yeah, I thought we did.
Yep.
Right. And that will be a noon and a 7 meeting, I would assume.
You both December meetings, you'd want them? Okay.
Well, one would be noon, one would be 7. The first one of the month, isn't that by ordinance?
No. We want your public hearing at both December meetings.
I got that. Does that get it? Well, if the deadline is March, that should give us plenty of time. And then I like public comment. Is that all right with the assembly?
That sounds good.
Okay. Sandy, you have another comment?
So just to clarify, so we will not pursue the negotiating process with Alaska Mental Health. Do we want to do this concurrently, or?
I'm comfortable getting public input first. I think it's something that would be worthwhile, and given that the deadline is, and I guess a point of clarification, it's not until March. The deadline is March. Is this correct?
I think they take bids till sometime in March, whatever that end date is.
Clarify that and discuss that at our next meeting. Maybe we'll have to take action sooner if it's...
Yeah, meaning like if the X, Y, or Z bids on certain property by the end of December, they could have it January 1st, then it changes things a little bit, I think. So I guess if we get clarification on that, that'd be great.
Sounds good. Can you...
Excuse me?
need to have bid opening dates.
And closing.
Too.
Yeah.
If I may.
Find out their...
My guess is Mental Health, if the date starts that they're accepting bids, my guess is they will then follow through the entire process and they wouldn't allow us to negotiate directly with them at that point.
Yeah.
That would be an assumption. I'm just guessing.
And so my suggestion would be to at least find out if we can reopen that process. We would still be able to do that before. Oh, no.
If they've already started
taking
bids, my guess is they're not going to allow that.
Probably not.
An assumption on my part, though.
A reasonable one.
I guess what we're looking for is to find out what their process is and when the dates of opening and closing are of the bids.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yep. Okay. Are we any more discussion on the CDUC subdivision lots? Seeing none. Discussion on a resolution dedicating local funds to capital project improvements approved for funding by the Alaska State Legislature in the 2016 budget. And I guess it had a number for resolution 2014-19, but I believe this is just under discussion tonight. So any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I brought this up originally, and my thinking was that We've all heard in the last few weeks that, you know, state funding, et cetera, has gone down significantly. We've got a priority list of what we wanted to fund, and we've all agreed to that, and we voted on it. But there are several projects that I felt strongly about here in town that we need to push. And my thinking was, one of them is the Children's Center, and I can't say it any better than Kim and Terry said it. The other project I was looking at was the school, and my thinking behind that was that at the time, if we did not get or had the opportunity to get funding for those projects in this coming year from the state, I'm not convinced at all we could get it, you know, later on. And so I looked at the pros and the cons of doing this, and looking at it, saying I can't see any downside to not having a resolution that was saying that we as a borough would contribute funds to these projects. Now, you brought up another point, which I think is valid here, that we need to talk about. And this would be for 1 year. If we don't get it, you know, I don't think this detracts from our other projects. When Kathy put together, and I thank Kathy for all her work, when she put together the resolution, she had it put together a little bit differently. And then I had a couple questions, and then Jody reworked it. And my thinking was, and when she reworked it, and they left it this way, it was for a reason, saying that from the assembly's viewpoint, that, yeah, we agreed this is our list, and we agreed there is money secured for some of them, but there isn't for others, okay? And we left it blank, thinking that to see what the assembly's idea was or what we wanted to do, but I still believe that we need to pledge some local funds, and we have money setting in our building fund to do such if we wanted to, or we could put it as, I think it was the manager said, we haven't decided maybe not even to put any to the renovation of this building. That's another possibility. I couldn't, looking at it and talking with the people, I can't see any downside to not doing it. As a matter of fact, you know, I've talked with a couple folks in the state saying there may be advantages from the borough standpoint to show you that you're really pledged, you know, you're really behind these projects and really want to do something. But we left it this way simply for discussion to see what folks wanted to do. And I think, Mark, you had some question on that.
Well, you were one of the projects you were suggesting funding was
the school,
the kitchen, the school kitchen, and the money's there in Securewell School Fund that the school board purposely saved in case Securewell Schools didn't get funded. Then the money would still be there for the education aspect of it. And it sounds like this year their school kitchen project is number 9 on the state list, but the state has to fund $23 million, if the number's right.
That's correct.
Yeah, just to get to that point. And if you'd like to speak to this Dr. Strode, that's fine. But my concern is, for one, I'd like to get the school board's direction to use that money for this. So maybe they want to wait till after the legislative session, and maybe they want to use some of their money, but they'd probably want the city to use general fund money. But how do we do that and not fund our normal business? And I wouldn't call it a problem, but I'm concerned with having this cap, this priority list that we, I don't know how many meetings we talked about it, and we come up with this. Maybe it was pretty short this year. In past, it's gone. We had special meetings to address this capital projects list. My opinion would be we pick, if we're going to use any local funding, general fund funding or property funding or borrow it from enterprise funds, we should stick with our number one priority. And that's just in my mind. But so anyway, having a resolution, I don't see where, you know, it's a bad thing. But if you set a set amount of money you're going to take annually to put towards each of these projects, then you're making a monetary statement. You know, you're going to actually take funds from those. So I guess it's another thing where we'll end up having public comment. I see we have public comment when we just put it up under discussion. So I know there's a lot of important projects that we need to have done to complete our wish list, but $10 million a day, the state's going backwards right now.
Yeah.
John? Yeah, I've been thinking after Bob brought this up at the last meeting, you know, and looking at different pots to take this from to help with our projects. And after the AML meeting, they were very definite in that they don't believe any state funding will happen unless the project is, one, fire, health, safety, and two, has matching funds. And they were very adamant about that. And then as you were talking about on the radio today with the state funding, they, you know, they pulled out $117 as their goal for this year's, this coming year's fiscal budget. And then 97 is their midpoint. And we know we're at, what, 70 now?
Yes.
So they're looking at up to $3 billion deficit.
You're talking dollars per barrel of oil.
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah. So that's what they're basing their budget on. Now they're, with the price of oil now, is they're looking at, you know, like I said, you know, about a $3 billion deficit, half their budget. So our options of capital projects are, you know, zero to one. Or is it, you know. Anyway, what I'm trying to get at is I'd like to see us put 3-5% of our general fund aside each year to start supporting our own capital projects budget. And whether we use it as matching funds or have enough money to pay for our number one priority, and then the, you know, after we save enough, hit our number two, and so on, you know, so we're basically taking care of ourselves and putting that 3-5% of our general fund to help do that, and whether we use it as matching funds or just to save enough to where we can start knocking off our, you know, number one, two priorities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a healthy way for us to look down the future.
Any more, Kurt, comments on this?
A comment on that. So what you guys are considering, if I'm grasping this at all, and I may be completely out in left field on this, but kind of a floating commitment of financial dollars to whatever the state has funding for. So let's just say for some reason they had $150,000 that they could throw at the Children's Center because it comes from a certain pot. And if we had a floating $200,000 for matching grants, we could put $150 in that and get that one.
Yeah.
Is that
kind
of what you have in your mind? So we're not really committing it to any specific.
That's exactly what I had in mind. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm clear with you guys then. Okay. Good idea.
So this is as far as the taking 3-5% of the general fund. Would that be something we would probably talk about at the during the budget cycle? Is that the number, $240,000?
3% is $240,000.
It comes out of the general fund.
So if the assembly wanted to go down that route, and Jody can refine that number, I'm doing that. Mike, how close?
So if I'm not mistaken, weren't we $200,000 in the black on our budget this year? Then that number would make us $40,000 in the red. So we have to consider all the ramifications. Another thing we need to consider, I think, when we're doing this, and I it's a good idea, we're going to have to start funding for some of our own projects. The money's not going to be there. Oil prices aren't forecasted to come back up for quite some time, is right. What the word from the weekend in Anchorage. But also you have to think of that number that we got for the renovation of this building was $10 million or whatever it was. That was an estimate up to a certain date. That date's passed. So the number's growing. So, that's why I'm kind of in favor of trying to put the money towards our number one project, and hopefully we get some more state funding, but that's like waking up and having a Mercedes in my driveway at Christmas. I don't think that's going to happen. So,
go ahead, John.
John?
Yeah, Mr. Ed, another rationale for doing this is with becoming a borough, we're pulling in more in our general fund budget than we had in the last year, and we've also pulled in more sales taxes than we've had. So rather than, we're at the beginning of our budget cycle, so instead of looking at spending that, increasing service or whatever, and I know it's never popular to take services away, but, that's life. I think, if we could put money aside, and like our project, our first project is the police station, our priority, spend it for that. I'm not saying change the list but to do whatever we can on our own, because I think that's not the future. I think that's right now, we're preparing for.
Yeah. Any more comments, Bob?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. I think Kurt stated it pretty well. And the people I've talked to in this state, even the projects they're going to fund, it doesn't mean we're going to get number one. They could jump down to number five or do something else, and as you well know. Mm-hmm. And my only thought was, I'm very similar to, we didn't promise any more services to the people outside of service area one. So there we have the money and the sales and so forth, and I agree with John on that respect. That's another issue, that let's put some of that money aside to use for, that money aside to use for some of the projects of which we don't have. But in the meantime, we do have money sitting in the building fund that we could pledge to this, but if we didn't get them, we obviously can move it to other projects real quick. No problem. And that's where I was coming from.
Right. And the manager and the finance director have put together a plan for using some of our, money in the bank, so to speak, from different places in the borough to help fund the police station, if that's the desire of the assembly. But I would suggest we wait and see what happens in the legislative session. But we can talk about it in the budget process, I suppose. But so this is a resolution that the assembly wants to try to move forward. Then I know we're just having up for discussions, and it was going to be on the agenda for action.
Right. I don't have any problem with the discussion, because I think it really needs to take place. Mm-hmm. And I agree with what John's saying too, which is another side to this too. Mine was trying to take care of us in the near future to see if we could do whatever we could to mm-hmm. improve our interests.
Jay?
Yeah, just a quick comment, if I may, Mr. Lynn, about Member Lynn, about that idea is, I don't see any downside to it. I think we can get into which one should be higher on our list or which one the Assembly decides is priority, but on a basic premise of the floating pledge, to use Kurt's words for that, we don't get it, cool, the money goes back in the pot and we can use it for something else. In short, it seems like a really low-risk, high-reward pledge from the borough. I think we're onto something there.
Any comments from staff, or do you want to wait till we discuss the resolution under action?
Jody?
Well, I'm just kind of curious, when we stick the projects into the CAPSIS system, how you're supposed to show a floating, amount that you sort of have to attach a certain amount to each project. Because that's what the legislatures are gonna look at to see if they want to, go ahead and fund that other 50% of it. So if you want to do some sort of match, I think you have to allocate it to a project.
Yep. That was my intent, yeah. Jody. But, yeah.
Okay.
Cindy?
I also am a little concerned. If we've ranked projects by priority, I'm a little uncomfortable with stepping back and saying, but not really. You know.
Exactly.
We're hedging our bets here. This really is our number one priority. We've talked about it. We've hashed it over. We've taken legislators through that building to see what the deficiencies are. We have grave concerns about why that rises to the top, to then say, well, but we might fund the electronic medical records. And then we would be taking money away from that number one priority. So I would not be in favor of that.
Point. I would think maybe somewhere in the wording of the resolution there should be that we have to go through a public process and get public comment if we're going to allocate money generated by the borough and put it towards a project. If we're going to vote on that, we should have public comment. But anyway, that's just the way it's worded. Bob, you had another comment?
Yeah, I was just going to respond to Cindy. I said, I don't have any problem with that, but I do think that, you know, if we want that number one project, I'm going to back to where the manager was, then I think we ought to be willing to say we would contribute X more amount to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that's...
Jody and I can provide you those kind of numbers. I mean, we've played around with the funding mechanism, right? To make that project happen, you know, and we can bring that forward. I think the will of the assembly, I mean, hopefully I'm not misstating that, was to wait until this legislative cycle to get a final feel for if the legislature is going to do something before we submit a plan to you. But we can submit a plan to you right now. I mean, not tonight, but pretty close. That says here's how we're envisioning funding this police station, and then the assembly could, you know, decide how they want to do that.
Yes,
very doable.
John, do you have a comment?
I'm not really saying anything different than the rest of you. Is the only thing I'm saying is to put that 3-5% in a pot in our capital improvement pot for the police station, because that's our number one priority right now. But if the legislature throws us a curveball and they have, you know, 200,000 left and said, well, we'll give you 200,000 for your children's center or something like that, then we match it with the other 100 if rather than deny taking that 200,000. But at least if we have that money in property development or wherever, we'll have that to respond to the legislature. And even if they give us nothing, we're still putting aside funds for doing that number one priority. I'm not saying change the priorities or anything like that. I'm just saying be ready to pay for it ourselves, and if the legislature gives us something, be ready to match it or be able to do it.
There is a bit of a law of unintended consequences here. Jody, what are we going to be in the black in the general fund? Have the auditors finalized that yet?
At the next assembly meeting, they'll give a report for fiscal year 14. And there was approximately $900,000 surplus.
Okay. Now, what our budget policy document that we ran by the assembly did was kind of do what John's asking, but at the back end, not at the front end. It basically said at the end of the year, if we ran in the black, we're asking the assembly to dedicate half of that money, whatever that number is, to the property development fund for that purpose. You can reverse that and say, okay, well, we can just budget for that then. The problem is if we budget, we then have to go and say, well, you know what, to make these numbers work, because we have certain things that we budget for that are anticipated, that we don't know that they're going to happen, basically contingency items. So then we have to turn around and say, you know what, we're going to budget, and pretend we still have those contingency items in there, and we're going to budget for the savings. So therefore, we've got to find that money elsewhere. In a bad year, those contingencies all go bad on us. We have to have that money there ready to buy, you know, a vehicle that got wrecked or deal with a landslide that we didn't expect or something. So what we've kind of been the approach is to deal with it at the back end. Is at the end of the year, hey, good year, we have extra money, let's let the assembly decide where that money should go. What John's saying is to do that at the front end. That will have an impact on some services. We'll have to decide, you know, and you know, I'm not saying $900,000 of the services. But, you know, we'll have to go into this saying, you know what, we still have to have that contingency money there for a boiler going bad or something. And now we're going to have to turn around and find a way to account for more savings.
Cindy, did you have a comment? That's good. Thanks, Steve.
That's a good point. You did identify that we have some new money coming in. One of those things is the tobacco tax. I don't know if we've made any projections on what we think that revenue would be. And I'm not suggesting we do it tonight, but as part of the discussion, we may say, let's pick a project or let's put it towards that fund at the outset, and then at the back end, if there's extra, we'll add that money too.
Okay. Bob, you have another comment?
It's been my experience that if we were to have something before that legislature, before they go into session, we'd be better off, having past experience dealing with this type of thing. And for this particular year, I'm with John. I'm willing to put it up front, you know, and take some. I don't think there's any risk involved this year, but I don't see a big downside here. And yeah, you make a point about some contingencies and so forth, but I think they could be taken care of.
Gloat, you had a comment you wanted to?
One thing, Senator Stedman came through the office a couple weeks ago, and he did encourage putting some smaller projects on. I know he listed some things, and so, you know, in the past we've gotten some great ones for Sons of Norway and things like that. But.
Yeah, the gun range has got money when it wasn't high up on the list, but that's just getting money for that because that's what they funded in other places of the state.
So yeah, he did encourage.
Played.
All 40, 50 of those projects that the Assembly had on the list, every one of those is going into CAPSIS, which is the key state legislature. We're not focusing on them. We're focusing on the priorities, and honestly, this year we were focused on one, which was the police station piece. But that's up to the Assembly.
Their list has been formed and prioritized and it's been sent in, so it'll be kind of hard to change it now in my mind. And the governor has 2 weeks to come up with his operating budget, and you know, it's probably going to be pretty grim. So I don't think we're going to get anything from that.
No.
Any more discussion on this? Is it something we want to...
I can bring the Assembly at the next meeting a proposed funding mechanism for the...
For our number one project.
Now, we've talked about up to a point, leaving a bit of a deficit, that we haven't addressed quite yet. But, Jody and I can be prepared to speak to that.
So it sounds like there's a couple of Assembly members that would like to address this resolution as an action item. I mean, I kind of like the method of you wait to see how much is in the bank at the end of the year and put it into half of it, for instance, for $500,000, put $250,000 in it into a capital projects fund, or if that's kind of what you guys were getting at, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Instead of saying I'm going to take 5% of something and not know what your expenses are at the end of the year. But I see a lot of our projects already have some money in there already, as a match,
Yeah.
Jody, am I correct in saying that we're still within our general fund budget policy, or well within it?
Yeah, and I think what we're talking about is two separate things here. At the next meeting, after the auditor talks about the financials, I am going to have a resolution on the agenda that talks about putting half of our surplus for this year into the property development fund. On a different topic, what Bob's talking about is the local contribution, which is a separate topic altogether, I feel like, and that I don't know if he's planning on putting that forward at the next meeting. But
and you mean that because it has to be dedicated to a certain project before you get a match?
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying, but we're going to put these projects into the CAPSIS system, and the legislators are going to look at it, and you have more of a chance of getting these funding for these projects if you have a match and you show what your match is for which project.
Yeah, and that
if you wait until the end of the year or something, you're going to miss the whole
cycle.
Yeah, right.
Until the next year.
Right.
Yeah. So, what do we want to do? You're going to present a resolution for putting half of the money that's left over annually. Mm-hmm. And do we want to bring this resolution up, Bob, that you presented for action in the next meeting? Or?
Yeah, I guess we've talked ourselves out around,
no, I don't wanna,
around the
know.
Corner. Generally, I would agree with where you are, and but this particular year with the funding, if we don't be able to pick up some of the state funds this year, I think we're out of luck. And that's what I was trying to do. Actually, I was trying to play a little poker is what it amounts to.
Right.
And I'm willing, I would be willing to do that, but I wanted to see where everybody else was. And so I got to think about it here a second, but I guess I would like to see I guess I would move that we have a motion on the table for the next meeting that would allow us to put, and again, that's what I wanted a discussion to see if people were the same place or different place I was. If you wanted to put it on additional money on number one, I'm okay with that. But I just think a resolution where we put some additional local funding to it would help us. Mm-hmm. I feel strongly about that.
I think if we have the manager present his plan that he had for funding the police station and renovation of this building, it might give us a whole other perspective, because I think there is money and they could borrow from different places from around the city and pay for it. Am I correct on that?
That's part of our proposal.
Okay.
I mean, Jody and I haven't looked at it for a while, so we'll go back and refine that. And then the assembly can obviously choose to...
I think we should look at all the options.
Yeah.
Before we make a decision. Kurt?
Well, a question I have just for clarification is that... when the three of you go back to Washington, D.C., is there any federal funding available for this project, or is this just a state project, this the police department?
Steve, what's your perspective on that?
We, the main federal funding, when once earmarks were killed, the main federal funding for projects like this is through USDA Rural Development. They have a facilities improvement type thing. We've spoken to the USDA gentleman out of Sitka, who told us the maximum their funding is $50,000, and that's based on community need, which is based on median community income. So what that meant was we weren't eligible. So he did offer up that they have a lot of loan money. I suppose that would be a possibility, but based on our charter and how things are done, we'd still have to go to the voters, because that would be a bump. I mean, that's just how it's done. We had taken that off the table, and we're not going down that road. So, you know, at this point, although we've talked to our federal lobbyists, we've asked them to continue to keep an eye out for something that might be out there, we haven't gotten very far. Now, there's one exception to that, which is we're trying to work the Homeland Security piece related to electronic stuff, communications gear, which is a big part of that. But there's a $500,000 line item in that building related to the 911 consoles and the base stations and you know, that piece of it, security system for the jail. I mean, it's all electronic these days. So we're trying to basically say, make a case with Homeland Security that you can, you know, it's a jail facility and we keep people, and trying to see if they'll give us money towards that project from that direction. We got a little bit of it, the antenna concept, that's a Homeland Security grant, and so we're going to keep at that. We don't know how successful we'll be between now and the time we build the building, but, you know, we're going to keep eating away at that number and hoping Homeland Security has more money than other people, and they have up to this point. We have not found any other federal agency that says they've got money.
I guess that gives us the picture.
It's clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it qualifies as a historical building.
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't be a bad thought.
I mean, yeah, you have to probably restore it to its...
original. Correct.
So, anyway, so we're gonna. I think it would be important to get all of the options in front of us. And do you understand what we're saying, Kathy? Or
well, you need a motion to put on the agenda next time around.
Was there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to put this resolution or a resolution with these intentions on the next meeting agenda. Any discussion? Okay, since it's in a form of a motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll discuss it some more for action at the next one. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is D, draft herbicide and pesticide ordinance. So we have an edited version from Skagway. I read through the one for Petersburg, and I thought it was okay. Is there any discussion, changes, or anything? We could have a first reading of this. The one of the meetings in December, Kathy, couldn't we, if we wanted?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Bob?
I have a whole bunch of questions. Go ahead. Cindy, go ahead if you want to.
Well, let me first say that I am in favor of restricting herbicides in the borough. However, I am concerned that this ordinance, once it goes into effect immediately with and it will affect retailers who have product on the shelf, people who have product at their homes, and the minute you sign it, this goes into law with a fine attached to it.
True. So I guess if there's wording in this draft ordinance that a person wanted to change, it could be changed under one of the three readings, and we could have public comment on the second reading like we always do. But for now, this is just up for discussion. I suppose we could change some of the wording on it this evening if we so desired, and yeah, before we even present it as an ordinance. Yeah.
Cindy made one of my points, but let's go first of all to the 8.10.050. It says, no person, private company, or other entity under any circumstance shall use neonicotinoid products or products containing neonicotinoids, active ingredients, and then it goes on, or any restricted pesticides or identified persistent by the U.S. Composting Council within the boundaries of the Petersburg Borough. So I went back and tried to get onto their website and look at it. And after about an hour, I finally got it done. But it raised a whole bunch of questions with me. Is that, first of all, I found out I'm in violation. I'm a gardener. And I have seed that has neonicotinoid on it. And then I went through a process and looked at it. Most of the corn seed in the United States, most of the wheat seed, a lot of the seed that's sent or bought by people to plant has this on it. So I'm already in violation. You're going to get me, you know, your $1,000 here. You go back, and then I went back to the EPA and looked at it. There is no requirement whatsoever for the manufacturer to say that this has this particular herbicide on. It's a coating that goes onto the seed. There's nothing that says they have to say who has it. The only reason I know is I found those seeds and went back and looked on their website. So then I went back, and that spurred me on to call one of the council or assembly people up in Skagway. Skagway's ordinance was aimed at two things at the time. One was the railroad, you know, which goes into Canada, and has a very similar situation to our road situation here, and I think they're very similar. They just didn't want herbicides applied there. And so they that was one of their pushes. The other one was there's two organic gardeners there off of that, and where the U.S. Composting Council came from was from the organic gardeners. So when you go look at their website, it raised more questions to me than it answers, because it goes way farther than where the EPA is. It goes down, and I even got a question about when after I read it, and I'm not a chemical expert, but when I read it, you know, if I possess treated wood, does that violate the U.S. Composting Council's guidelines? If I paint that wood, you know, it raised all kinds of questions. And so I'm with Cindy. And then to have $1,000 fine for this, and leave it open-ended like this. Who's going to do it? I've got a serious problem with this, the way this is written, from my perspective, because I don't think it's enforceable. I think the fine's too big, and I don't think there's enough teaching up front, because I had no idea of the of how massive use of these neonicotinoids are across the United States. And I'm not arguing for or against them. I'm just saying, whoa, slow up here, folks. Time out. Let's take another, you know, a little bit better look at this. I don't, you know, you say, yeah, it solves our problem, but it goes way beyond, in my estimation, what we need to solve our problem. And so I'd like to see us back off. I'd like to see us take the $1,000 out. I'd like to see us up front say, rather than a punitive type of a thing, I'd like to see us say that provide recognition and, you know, some way to let people to take a look at the use of these things, more of an education rather than a punitive type of a damage here. We don't have anybody on board that can really enforce this because it is technical. I'd like to see us back off on part of it.
So change some of the wording, but still put forward a.
Well, then I had a question which I'd asked the manager and so forth earlier is, even if we put it into effect, does it have any, it doesn't really have any meaning on federal land whatsoever.
Probably not.
It doesn't. But what about state land? And
probably not.
Probably not. And so what we're talking about is we're restricting all private use, and I think that goes a little bit, I am not an advocate, you know, overall user, but I also think it's way too restrictive. I don't see any problem, you know, with somebody having, you know, some of this, and I think that's the way originally it was written, you know, some of the EPA-approved things, but this prohibits all of it, and I'm not comfortable going there yet.
Okay. Nancy?
When Barry first brought this before the assembly, he was upset because the state was going to allow themselves to start spraying along public roadways without notifying the municipalities or anybody that it was going to happen. My main concern is that they will be able to do that. I think there should be some avenue for notification that it's going to be happening in our community so that people can respond. I don't know that we necessarily need to fine gardeners who foolishly want to use Roundup or whatever.
Yeah.
The important thing to me is that they be required to notify us before any spraying gets done. They be required to make notification before spraying starts in a timely manner so that people can respond.
So it sounds like there'll be a lot of modification to this before it goes anyway. Jay, you had a comment?
Yeah, another modification, I guess, just thinking out loud, is I'm kind of in line with what Member Lynn is saying, in that I don't want to legislate what somebody does in their garden. I personally would never use some of those products on my own, but that's just me, but I don't want to tell my neighbor what they're going to do with that. However, in terms of, I would change some of the wording to talk about there will be, more or less what it says right there, along our public roadways. Public areas, public roadways, public right-of-ways, because I think that takes into account the major thing of, I would use the term industrial spraying, going and spraying 20 miles of road where it's leaking right into our water. Just the sheer quantity of that changes is a game changer compared to what Bob's doing in his garden. And I think that's the really important part where it can have much more magnified trickle-down effects. And from my own end, I'd like to focus on that and just say none. And I'm comfortable with that. That'll bring up whatever it brings with state federal agencies, being it's technically theirs, but I'd like to dig in on that because the sheer quantity is beyond alarming to me, and I'd like to focus it more on that and the roadways aspect.
John?
Yeah, I would kind of go along with this, that I don't think we're worried about our own citizens. We're worried about what the states and will be doing to us. I mean, that's where this all sort of came about. And I would, you know, and I know this is probably stupid because I'm suggesting it, and I'm used to stuff like that, but I just prefer something very simple that said, citizens of the Petersburg Borough do not want the state or federal government to spray herbicides or pesticides in our borough. And I know legally that may not hold up, but I'd sure in the hell like to try it. And the thing is the state, we are the state. Well, we're the people. And the feds, we are the federal government too. We have more rights than they do to make decisions on our homes. And it's just something very direct and simple, and, you know, and we don't have to put enforcement people in, we don't have to fine. Yeah, I just